Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I want to read you a verse. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, the 8th verse. Probably the most well-known verse, most quoted verse in the Christian world, besides John 3:16. And it says this, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God." Holy Spirit, speak through me today. Let those rivers of living water flow and touch everyone that's here. Probably the most quoted verse in the Christian world, and probably the one we practice and know the least about. Now, did I shock you? Okay, I just wanted to get your attention. We know that this grace applies to us getting to heaven. How many glad you're going to heaven? How many going to heaven? Oh, some of you going, but you're not glad about it. How many glad you're going to heaven? Huh? Now, you don't have to be that tired one that Lori was talking about. You know, you don't have to be that one. She started talking. I said, "Is she talking about me, Lord?" And then I thought, well, no, I'm not. No, that's not me. I'm not going to be that way. But if you don't know, it's a gift. Ask Jesus to come into your heart right now. Are you listening? Somebody here is not saved. You don't know for sure that if you die, you go to heaven, and you're not paying attention to what I'm saying. See, that'll get you into hell by not paying attention. Huh? So, if you don't know that you're going there, just say, "Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. Save me right now." See, it's just putting your faith in Him. Your faith in the one that paid the price. Your faith in that wonderful name we just talked about or sang about. Putting your faith in Him that He did enough so that you can go to heaven. And it's receiving what He did. It's exchanging all of your bad for all of His good. Man, that excites me. How about you? Some of you need to look at the person next to you and say, "I'm excited. My face just looks this way." And I'm excited about heaven, but you know, Paul teaches that we are to live by grace. And I'm learning, and you know what a lot of Christians don't understand is that this grace doesn't just apply to the sweet by and by, but it's appropriate and it's for here in the, how many know sometimes it's the rotten here and now, for fear of wearing out an old phrase that we've used for 100 years, but you know it's not something that's just in our future. It's something that's our life now. And we are to walk by faith, by grace. We are to walk in this grace that God's given us by faith. And sometimes it takes faith. Most of the time it does. But what I'm saying is it's not just something that's getting us to heaven. Thank God for that. But it's something that's getting a little heaven down here on earth. Getting a little bit of heaven in me. God's grace. It's magnificent. We sing songs about it. Amazing. It's amazing grace. But this is the thing about that amazing grace of God makes it like we have never sinned. Makes it like sin has never been here in your life, in my life. See, grace laid all of my sins and all of your sins on Jesus. And it blotted them out completely, so completely that God doesn't even remember them anymore. Isaiah 43, 25, God said this through Isaiah. I am he who blots out your transgression for my own sake, and I will remember them no more. Give him some praise, that's good. But the part that stuck out to me here, he said, I'll blot out your sins, your transgressions for my sake. I'll blot them out for me. That's how much I love you. That's how much I want you. Grace. Grace. I won't even remember them anymore. And then grace went into hell for you and for me. I thought about that. Was Jesus God in the flesh? I'm not going to go too far with this because it boggled my mind and I don't know where I'm supposed to go thinking this, but I just got to thinking, God, Jesus was God in the flesh, and God wanted me so much. He wanted me to have a relationship with him so much. He wanted me back so much that he himself came down here in the form of his son and let him kill him, and he went down into the hell that he created for the devil and all his angels. And he did that for me. Grace. Grace. And he went that so he did that. He did that. And then he raised from the dead. But he did that so that I could go to heaven. But so that the kingdom of God, that I could live in the kingdom of God right now. I love Luke 17. He tells us, Jesus says, don't look over here for the king. Don't look over here. Don't look over there. The kingdom of God's in you. In you. God's not somebody I have to call, hey, Father, come down. He already came down. And then he went back. And then he sent himself down in the form of his spirit. And you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Think about that. But here's the thing. Grace bore our guilt. It set us completely free from condemnation. He bore our guilt. Now think about this act. See, because we can just quote this scripture and we can just go, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But it took our guilt away. And not only that, but grace made it possible so that when I mess up, anybody here ever mess up? No, I mean anybody really mess up. I mean anybody go to hell kind of mess up. So that when I mess up, I don't have to stay under that guilt and condemnation for days and weeks and feel sorry and feel ashamed of myself. I don't have to do that. I can go right to the throne of my Father and ask Him to forgive me. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. I hope. See, I can just simply say, I can just go before the throne and I can say, Father, I blew it. I messed up. It's my fault. I did it. I'm sorry. I don't want that in my life anymore. And I'm going to do everything I can. I'm asking you to help me get that out of my life. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to act that way. I don't want to think that way. I don't want to do those things. Help me. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now let me ask you something. What's left over? What's left after you're cleansed from all unrighteousness? What's left? Righteousness. See, if I'd asked some of you before the service, are you righteous? You'd have went, well, I sure hope so. Well, I think I will. If He cleanses you from all unrighteousness, it puts you right back into righteous, into right standing with Him again. If you confess that and mean it, it puts you right back in fellowship with Him again. You don't have to spend days and weeks and months and years under condemnation because you blew it. Well, I did it again, God. Help me brush my britches off here. I'm going to get back up again. Huh? I mean, some of these things, I've got up so many times. Sometimes my legs got tired and I couldn't hardly get up. But you just keep getting up. That means that when I repent or when we repent, it's like we're new all over again. Now think about this. 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if anybody be a new in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Oh, I got to read this next verse. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I think I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but if anybody's in Christ, God reconciled us. God wanted me back so much that He did it. He did it. I don't know why I keep trying to do it. Huh? I don't know why I keep trying to do it. I don't know why I keep thinking it depends on me. I didn't no more feel like getting up here and speaking to you this morning. And then all of a sudden the Lord spoke to my heart and He said, what are you going to tell them about? I said, I'm going to tell them about your grace. He said, well, then it doesn't depend on you. Quit acting like all this depends on you. You're not the big deal. My son's the big deal. And his name is Jesus. And what a wonderful name it is. If I'd learned those words, I'd have sang it again here, but it wouldn't quite been as pretty as when you did it. But I want this to sink into you because we are when we are instantly made right with God. And that means we get to get back and live in His blessings again. Hear me? We get to walk in His presence and live in His blessings. That word where He reconciled us, it means He restored us to favor. He brought us back into harmony with Him. Whew. I'm talking about the God of this universe. I'm talking about the one that knows all about those black holes and all those other things that these real smart guys looking through these telescopes are seeing and coming up with all these brilliant deductions. I know the one that made all that. And He's brought me back into fellowship with Him, back into harmony with Him, back into favor with Him. Grace. grace. And folks, he wants me to walk in blessing. Now you believe that for me, but he wants you to walk in blessing. How many got a finger? Hold your finger up. The right one. Hold the right one up. Okay. Boy, don't y'all be giving me the wrong finger there. Say, he wants me to walk in blessing. Now you got to think about this. And you can't walk in condemnation and guilt and walk in the blessings of God at the same time. Because you don't think you deserve it. See, when I go into his prayer, when I confess this wrong, when I turn around, repentance just means I turn around, I quit going my way, and I start going God's way, and that applies to every area of my life. I have to repent in every area of my life. Because there's a way that seems right to me, and that way it's a broad way, and it leads to destruction. But there's a narrow way that if I just go through that narrow gate, it'll seem narrow for a little while, but when I give everything to Jesus, when I get through that narrow gate, wow, it leads to life. And life more abundantly. And when you confess, it's like you never sinned at all. Huh? How many ever asked God to forgive you? And then you got up from the prayer closet and asking him to forgive you, and you picked it back up and you thought about it for a day or two and you felt guilty about it for a day or two and you, huh? Anybody ever do that? And you ask God to forgive you, and then I'd be 3 or 4 weeks down the road and I'd still be asking him to forgive me. I'd say, God, how come I feel so guilty? He said, because you never really repented. Because to truly repent means you, when you do it, you believe that he forgave you. You put trust in that he loves you, that he forgave you. You're not truly repentant until you believe and trust in that forgiveness and you acknowledge it and you begin to walk in it. See, that means that you can walk in righteousness by faith. That means you don't have to feel like you're right with God. You can receive what he said by faith and walk that way. Now, some of us, we like to feel guilty. Some of us, because we think, well, if I feel guilty about this, then it'll keep me from doing it the next time. See, some of us think feeling guilty is being humble. Help me, Holy Spirit. Some of us think that we use this guilty really as a crutch, as an excuse. See, some of us think that being guilty somehow, for us realizing we're guilty, it pleases God. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Folks, that sounds spiritual, but that's nothing but religion. Because I just read to you what happens when you get saved. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. old things have passed away and new things have come. You with me? Guilt. Guilt. It's a bad feeling caused by knowing or thinking you have done something bad or wrong. You didn't get that. It's a bad feeling. Everybody say bad feeling. How many ever felt guilty and you said, whoo, that felt good? If it's bad, where does it come from? If it's good, where does it come from? It's a bad feeling caused by knowing or thinking. You don't even have to do anything wrong. You can just think you did. And that's where 80% at least of Christianity is today. We just think we're not too good. We just think we're kind of unworthy. We just think God might do it for you, but it'd be harder for Him to do it for me. It's feelings of culpability formed or from imaginary offenses or from a sense of inadequacy. Guilt. I just kind of, well, that's what I get. Well, I kind of knew this had happened. You see what I'm saying? And we go for that. We believe that. But see, guilt, and I'm talking about a sin consciousness. Sin consciousness keeps us from receiving God's love and blessing in our life. Well, I'm just not as smart as everybody else. Well, I just, you know, I believe He could do it for you, Pastor, but I just don't believe He could do it for me. Well, if I was just better. Well, if I was just living better. Folks, now let me ask you, so I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to you giving you a license to sin. If you're born again, you're not looking for a way to sin and get away with it. If you're born again, you're looking for a way to get away from all that and get all that bondage out of your life. You hearing me? I love that. It's from imagined offenses and sense of inadequacy. If you, guilt will cause you, it will cause a hesitancy for you to receive. And it also make you say some pretty stupid things. Huh? Well, I'm just so unworthy. Well, I just, you know, I just, if I just was better. Oh, if I, you know, if I could just live better. Hold it, is it by works or is it by faith? Did you trade all your bad for all His good? Or are you still trying to operate on your bad? You with me? Well, I just don't believe in all that prosperity stuff. I just don't believe in all that blessing stuff. See, guilt will make you say some silly things. I heard somebody preaching on TV the other day. And they said, they were preaching against prosperity teaching. And I'm against some of it. I'm against some of it where the preacher's trying to get you to give him everything you got. I'm against that kind of stuff. But see, real prosperity teaching is that, hey, God loves you so much, He wants to bless you in every area of your life. But this guy, he was going on and on and on and on. And he made this statement, and I didn't hear nothing else. It just, and I wasn't listening to him. I was just kind of surfing through, and he said, "Money's not important to me." And I went, "That's a religious thought. I mean, what a religion will do to you." The Pharisees were religious. "Money's not important to me." You're a liar if you think that and you say that. If money's not important to you, why are you spending most of your life working so somebody will give you some of it? Huh? Now, if he would have said, "Money's not the most important thing to me," that's a different story. But I want you to understand how the enemy tricks us and gets our mind to go. Paul said he tricked Eve by he beguiled her mind. Got her to go for something that sounded religious, but it brought death. But we say these silly things. Hold it. Either God forgave me, either I don't have to stay under that guilt and shame, or this book got some things in it that aren't true. Now, either I'm wrong or this book's wrong. How many know if we're going to vote who's going to be wrong? Because this word isn't going to be wrong. I might read it wrong. I might interpret it wrong. But this word, man, this word's the truth. Huh? I'm trying to get through to a mindset. And most of the time, or not a lot, most of the time, a lot of the time, we will say money's not important to me because we think the fact that we don't have anything makes us unspiritual. And any time a pastor or teacher starts teaching on faith and prosperity and God blessing them and God loving them, the one, there's always some that don't think it's happening to them, but it's happening to everybody else. And folks, that's not the truth. He loves you. And I know because it happened to me and it'll still happen to me. I'm talking about a mindset, because I just don't feel like I've got quite what it takes to be able to make the grade. See, that all stems from guilt. Huh? How many know how you used to be? Huh? How many know how you used to be? How many know? Well, forget it. Won't you forget it? Somebody came up to me not long back and they knew me 40 years ago or 50 years ago, and they said, "Oh man, I remember you, Hank, and I remember when such, 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 such." And I said, "Man," I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." Huh? Well, I'm not going to sit and try to remember that stuff. Huh? I'm not going to sit and try to pull that stuff up. The devil already works hard enough trying to pull that stuff up in me, doesn't he, you? Well, Clay, where two of us will agree. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, guilt and condemnation are not supposed to be part of our makeup. And it's so embedded in us we don't even realize it. I heard somebody the other day, it's been a few weeks back, I was talking with somebody And I mean, they were going through some hard times. They were going through some crises. I mean, man, if you get one little fire put out, three more were springing up. How many ever been in a season like that, man? Just a few of us honest enough to say yes. But I mean, man, and he made the statement to me. He said, "I don't know what I've done wrong to make this happen. What have I done wrong to make all this happen?" And I said, "Well, one time Jesus walked up on somebody and they were sick, and the disciples looked at him and said, 'Who sinned, them or their parents?' And Jesus looked at him and said, 'They didn't sin and their parents didn't sin. This thing's here so the glory of God can be manifested.'" Hmm? Well, now there's not one of us in here, not one of us listened to this on internet or CD that hadn't thought something similar to that. Well, let me tell you what to do when that thought comes to you. Won't you let some glory of God be manifested? And when you think, well, I must have really done something to deserve this, just say, Father, all the sin in my life, forgive me and cleanse me right now. And now I just receive your forgiveness. I receive your righteousness. And now no more do I have to be weighted down with that guilt and condemnation. Just let him magnify. Let him manifest his glory through you. And let the devil see how you believe that your sins can really be forgiven. Everybody's always talking about the glory of God and the glory of God and the glory. You know what the glory of God is? The glory of God is whenever he's able to come into your life and do something supernatural that it couldn't get fixed or it couldn't work unless he did it, and he's able to shine his glory through you. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. He already sent it 2,000 years ago. He said, receive it. Receive the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Well, we're good now. We're not in notes now. See, there, folks, get the mindset. There's a difference in saying, I can't do anything without Jesus. There's a difference in saying that and saying, I can't do anything. And not only that, but Paul didn't approach this from the negative. He approached it from the positive. He didn't say, I can't do anything with it. He said, I can do all things through Christ. See the mindset? Huh? Remember I told you the difference about the guy that's feeling the ball out in the field? If he's sitting there thinking, oh, God, I hope they don't set that ball to me. I hope they don't hit it to me. He's going to drop it every time. But there's always a guy out there like Tommy Pham, man, that's going, hit it to me, hit it to me. I can get it wherever you hit it. Just hit it to me. I'll show you. Difference in mindsets, huh? See, we got to have some confidence in that grace. We got to have some confidence in God's grace. We got to trust that he'll forgive us and that he really does cleanse us, makes us right again every time we come to him. And you have to walk in faith to receive that because you don't feel like it, and your mind won't let you think that way and your body won't let you feel that way. But it's what God said, so by faith I am right in your eyes, God. By faith you have forgiven me. I receive it. We got to believe that he'll do it. We got to be confident that he'll do it. But we're confident that he'll do it because we realize that he loves us. Receiving God's grace is getting a revelation of his love. Let me read you 1 John 4 real quick. Chapter 10. It says, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world. You see what he said here? He said, this is how the love of God was manifested to you. He sent Jesus for you. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the sacrifice for our sin. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Are you get that? I've read that thing thousands of times, that verse, and never got it till the other day. Herein is love, he sent his Son for you, Hank. How much does God love me? This is how much God loves me. Look at John 17 real quick. Jesus is getting ready to leave, and he prays a prayer for the disciples. And then in verse 20, I'll just read it to you. He says, I don't pray for these alone, talking about his disciples that have been walking with him. I don't pray for those alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word. Do you hear who he's praying for there? He's praying for us. He's praying for us, for me, for you. He goes on here in verse 23, and he says, in them, you and me, and that they may be made perfect in one, and the world may know that you have sent me, and that you loved them as you have loved me. He loves me the same way he loves Jesus. Verse 26, he says, and I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that love with which you loved me, that it may be in them and I in them. See, it's one thing to mentally accept the fact that God loves you, but it's another thing to believe it and trust in it. Because see, when I have to trust in it is when I've been the sorriest, the most despicable. When I've been the, you know, like some of you were yesterday. When I've messed it up so bad. See, that's when I have to know and trust. When I'm in the lion's den, that's when I have to believe it and trust in it. I don't know what's going on, God, but I know you love me, and I know you didn't do this to me, and I know you'll get me through this. When I'm in the furnace, I have to know that my Father loves me. And I don't know how or when or what, but I know when I get out of this, baby, you ain't even gonna smell smoke on me. See, when we really trust God's love, it's not a problem to obey him. I mean, it's not a problem to, when we really trust, well, it's not a problem to live for him. It's not a problem to go to church. It's not a problem to pay your tithes. It's not a problem to do the things that he tells us to do. Why? But because I know he loves me, I believe he loves me, and I trust that he wouldn't tell me to do something unless he had something better in store for me. You with me? See, for me to really trust God's love and that grace is for me to walk in it. For me to walk that way. And you might look at me and say, yeah, but you remember what you did yesterday? But if I'm going to walk in faith, I can go, well, no, not really, and I don't really want to think about it because I've laid that before the throne of my Father. And I have a high priest who is touched with my feelings, and he does there, and I go to him in my time of need, and I have a Jesus that paid a price for that, and I already swapped all that bad for all his good. I asked him to forgive me, and it was like I never did it. Yeah. See, grace has two sides to it. Let me hasten on here. Grace has two sides to it. One is the character of the benefits. That's it's unmerited favor. It's undeserved, right? The characteristics of grace. Man, I get it. It's a free gift. I didn't have to earn it, didn't have to deserve it. He gave it to me anyway. But the second side to grace is the gracious disposition of the benefactor. His heart, his willingness His love, His desire to exhibit that grace for me. How bad He wanted to. His desire for me to experience joy and pleasure and delight and His loving kindness. His desire to show me His mercy. Says, Hank, just confess it. I want to show you. I want to get you out from under all that load of sin. I want to get you out from under that bondage. I want to get you out from under that guilt and that condemnation. Just ask me to forgive you. I'll show you my mercy. And sometimes down the line a little bit, he says, Hank, I showed you my mercy. Why are you still dragging that up? Why are you still talking about that? Why are you still letting that pull you? Why are you still letting the enemy beguile your mind? Anytime you get out of faith, fear will be there. Anytime you start fearing, know that faith isn't working. Because faith will drive fear out. You with me? See, to believe and to trust in God's grace, I've got to believe it and I've got to act on it. See, I'm talking about my walk with Him. I'm talking about where God wants me to be. Romans 8 says, Hank, it was predestined before the foundations of the world that I would take you and conform you into the image of my dear Son. And you're still wanting to suck on the bottle all the time. I want to give you some meat that'll make you grow up strong. Huh? I'm talking about our attitude. Let me read you a verse that Paul said. I love Ephesians, man. I'll tell you what. This is a new Bible I just got a few months ago, and I almost already wore out Ephesians in it, man. Huh? But I'm trying to wear the whole sucker out. I'm trying to wear it all out, man. Anyway, let me read you something Paul said in Ephesians 6:10. He said, finally, my brethren. Now let me change that. He said, finally, Hank, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm not strong with me, but I can be strong in what Jesus did for me. I can operate in that. You with me? The word strong here. Here we go again. Impress you. The Greek word is endunameo. Now, how many were impressed? Not very many. Okay, well, we got that out of the way. A few in the back impressed. But it's made of two compound words. One word is en, and the other word is dunamis. Now the word in means, en means in, like in something. Like if I poured water into a glass. You with me? The word dunamis means explosive strength, ability, and power. It's where we get the word dynamite from. In fact, when Jesus said, you will be filled with the Spirit and you will receive power, He's talking about dunamis, an explosive power in our life. So when you put those together, edunameo, I'm not even pretending that I'm saying that anywhere close, but you don't know the difference, most of you, so. But that word presents the picture, listen, it's of an explosive power that's being deposited into some kind of a container, a vessel, or some other form of receptacle. You with me? So the very nature of this word means that it's necessary, that there must be some kind of receiver that this power can be deposited in. Now that's where we come into the picture. Huh? God has designed us to be the receptacle or to be the container of His divine power. Get what Paul's saying here. He starts off Ephesians by saying, man, I'm just praying that you'll get wisdom and that you'll get a revelation of what God's done. I'm just praying that you get a revelation of what He's called you to, and that you'll get a revelation of that power that He's put in you. It's that same power that He raised Jesus from the dead. We're designed to be those containers, those receptacles for His divine power. What do you think it meant in 1 Corinthians 6:19 when He said, your body, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit? So what He's saying here is Paul's saying, receive a supernatural strengthening, an internal deposit of power into your inner man. God's the giver, and we're the receptacle. We're the container that power's to be poured into. And we're going around going, I just don't feel worthy, God. Oh, if I just hadn't, I'm just reaping what I've sown. How many ever heard somebody say that about the bad things in their life? I'm just reaping what I've sowed. Well, haven't you reaped some good stuff? Why don't you reap that for a while? Huh? A little bit of God's good will outweigh a whole bunch of your bad. Pray for some crop failure on some of that. Spread a little fertilizer on the good. You with me? I'm talking about a mindset. Paul knew. He knew that we desperately needed supernatural power to be able to stand up against some of the attacks the enemy would throw at us. You want to know why you're losing? Because you're trying to fight it without the supernatural power of God in your life. Won't you cast the care of that over on Him and just back up and sit down for a while and say, okay, God, let's see what you can do. I was hoping when I sit down there I could get back up, but... He's saying, He's urging us, He's saying, Hank, just open up to God and let Him fill your innermost being. Let Him fill you with His supernatural power. Those rivers of living water. See, most of the time I have to operate that in faith because I don't feel like it. I don't think like it. You with me? But that's why He told me to renew my mind. He didn't say renew your mind, listening to everybody that's talking about how that's not available to you anymore. No, renew your mind with what my word really says. Well, so what He's saying here in Ephesians 6:10, He's saying, be infused. Hank, be infused with supernatural. Now, I know you maybe don't put yourself in these scriptures, but I'm starting to put myself in all of them. You asked me about Zion the other day. Hey, anything that says Zion, I go, that's me. I'm Zion. I know there's some of that stuff that's just for the nation of Israel, but I'm Zion. I'm your church, God. You said if you'd give it to the Jews, you'd give it to me. So, hey, that's mine too. Hank, be infused with supernatural strength and ability. Hank, be empowered with this special touch of God's strength. Hank, receive this power of God in your spirit, in your inner being. Well, that's what I did a while ago. I almost let Lori talk me into being tired. Huh? And I said, yeah, that's me, Lord. I am so down. I am so tired. Oh, me. Oh, my. And I said, Father, fill me with a touch from you. I started saying what God started saying. And I didn't think y'all ever were going to get through with that last song. Huh? I mean, I was praying at the beginning. I was saying, Lord, why don't you just move and let everybody come down, and then I won't have to say nothing. You do that. Hey, listen, we've got to walk in this by faith. Well, see, what this book tells us over and over and over is just like Jesus possessed it, we possess it. He was the first begotten. I don't know what my number is. It might be the 100 million billionth begotten, but I'm one of the begotten. Huh? He begot Jesus first, and then we all follow that. I'm begotten. I had some more here, but we'll give it to you another time. But this mindset. See, grace is something I can operate every day of my life. I don't have to walk around under condemnation. Oh, Lord, what am I doing wrong? Oh, God, what? You show me what to do, Lord. What, man, he's telling you, if you're letting him lead you and guide you, he's telling you what to do all the time. Do what he tells you to do. I love what Jesus' mother said to the guys. Said, whatever he says, do it. I said, well, that's simple. Oh, God, how are you going to build the church? How are you going to bring people? How are we going to do it? What program do we have to get? What do we need to do? Oh, God, what, blah, 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 blah. He says, man, why don't you just listen to me? Huh? See, that's what I'm trying to get us all to do, to listen to him. And if you can ever start walking out from under all that condemnation, all that guilt, ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit. This isn't the kind of message where everybody's going to jump up and run to the altar and it's going to all be revealed what I've been talking about. This is the kind of message that you're going to go home and you're going to be thinking about it. And tonight you're going to be thinking about, well, what did Pastor say? He said this and this. And then in the middle of the week, you're going to start thinking about it, and you're going to start looking it over, and something's happening in there. And by next week, you'll be thinking this stuff. You won't even remember I said anything. And some of you will be saying, oh, when you said this or when you said that, and I didn't even say it. You with me? But won't you start with the God that say, Holy Spirit, start showing me all these areas in my life that this condemnation, this guilt feeling, this is because you don't even recognize it at that. Because everybody here would say, I'm not guilty. Jesus forgave me of my sins. But how much of this stuff is pushing us and driving us and affecting us? Start asking yourself, why did you think that way? Gosh, I heard what I said. Why did I say that way? You with me? See, it's a personal relationship. Well, let me just chop it off. We'll get some more next week. By grace, you have been saved. By faith, through by grace, through faith, you have been saved. It's a gift of God. So, how do you start doing that today? Just start saying, you know what, God? I'm going to walk like I'm your child. I'm going to start acting like I'm your child. I'm going to forget about all of it. When the devil throws those thoughts up in there, how bad you are, how unworthy you are, how you tried before and it didn't work, and what if, and all that, just say, I know, God, but I don't want to think about all that right now, so I just ask you to forgive me for all that. And Lord, I just want to walk with you. I want you to show me. I want you to talk to me. I want our relationship. I want to know what you say, God. I am that receptacle. I am full of your power. When you feel weak, what did he say? He said, let the weak say I'm strong. Huh? When you feel down, what are you going to do? Say, but I'm not moved by feelings. I am the receptacle of God's power. And I don't have to think all those thoughts anymore. And I don't have to let all that bondage and just break those chains right off of you. You know, if you could get free from bondage, free from the bondage of guilt and shame and condemnation, you wouldn't need counseling anymore. Doug, you'd go out of business, bro. You're not too worried about it, though, are you? Man, I tell you what, Doug can put up with. Man, he can sit and listen to you for 6 months, man. In 6 minutes, I want to tell you what you did, what you're doing wrong, and if you don't do it, man, I don't want to tell you again. Huh? That's the difference between a counselor and a talker, I guess. But if you could get free from that feeling, and so start this week seeing how many areas of your life that mentality affects. And when you catch it, just say, whoop, I didn't know that, Lord. If that's really the way that is, forgive me. Help me walk with you. Forgive me, and I don't want to think that way anymore. You don't just change the way you think in a few minutes either. Okay? Well, everybody stand before I go into sermon number 3. Holy Spirit, take something I said and help every one of us, Lord. I ask you to help me know. Help me, give me a revelation of what I just said. And I ask you, Lord, I just ask you, Lord, I care about these folks and you care about them. And just cause me to keep saying some things that'll help them get set free. I don't want them under the devil's bondage. I don't want them under that load of guilt and condemnation. I want them to know, God. I want us all to know who we are in you and what you've done for us. Everybody bow your head real quick. Who in here you don't know for sure if you died right now? You've never received this grace. You've never received this forgiveness. And if you were to die right now, you don't know for sure that you'd go be with God. Who is that? Nobody's looking. Just raise your hand. If there's any question in your mind at all. Okay, who else? Come on, if there's any question at all. You don't know for sure. Maybe it's partly you just can't forgive yourself. But you just don't know for sure. Right where you are right now, just say, Jesus, I want to know for sure. So I ask you to come into my heart. You died for my sins, and I just want to lay all that past life before you and ask you to forgive me. I want to turn around now and live for you because I love you. I don't really know how to do what I'm asking, but I'm asking you to help me do it because I really mean it. I don't want the way it's been. I want you. And I thank you right now for saving me. Thank you for saving me. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, as soon as I dismiss, come down and let me and some of us pray with you. And I'd like to give you some information, help you get on your way with the Lord. And I hope every one of us here, everybody in here, say something with me. I don't have to feel guilty anymore. I don't have to be under condemnation anymore. Jesus set me free. Devil, you get behind me. I'm not going to operate that way anymore. Holy Spirit, help me do what I just said. Hey, I love you. I speak His blessings on you, and I believe Him to do big things in your life today and this week. I believe Him to bless you in every area of your life. But I believe Him to show you some things that will set you free. Hey, I love you. Hey, if you can come tonight, come listen to the teens and the kids talk about their trip. It's going to be a good time. Besides that, I want to visit with you and hug you and stuff anyway. Hey, love you. You have a good week. Find somebody and bring them to church with you next week, will you? See you then.